Let's take care of some business. Let's start with this. Let's start with this. One more time. Let's start with this. Hey, it's the Word of God, right? The second thing we want to hold up is this. Do you all have this? Bulletin. Bulletin. Lesson plan. And then the last thing is critical. Do you have one of these? If you do not have one of these, say it again. If you do not have one of these, please raise your hand high right now, because the usher greeters are going to make their way through the aisles and make sure that you have a pen. And while you have your bulletin, please open it up, because inside of your bulletin you will find a church survey. And Pastor Miles is going to appear on the screens in just a second to share with you what we're about ready to do. So if you'll look at the screens, get your pens, get your surveys. Here's Miles.
Hello, Rock Church. By now you know we're doing a survey, and I just wanted to give you a few tips on why we're doing it and how it's going to work out. One, why are we doing a survey? Couple reasons. One, we want to really determine who's at our church, the profile of what kind of people come here. We also want to make sure that we're meeting your needs to a satisfactory level. And two, find out how we can serve you better. Why are we doing it this way with a piece of paper? One, we don't want to call your homes. I'm sure you don't want that. This is really going to help us gather a lot of information very quickly, and it's critical that all of you do it. Now, first, let me tell you this. We really need everyone to do the survey. Even if today's your first day in the church, it's going to be a very painless process. We want to even get information from first-time visitors, why you've come, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Two, we need you to fill out the whole survey. As Dan asked you to open it up, it has six sides. Please fill out the whole survey, every question that pertains to you, so we can get a very good cross-section of information. Three, this thing is going to be very anonymous. Your name's not going to be on there, so please be very honest. If there's something you don't like about the church and that question is in there, please answer that question honestly so we can know how to better to serve you, and it'll give us an idea how well or bad we're doing in those areas. There are a couple of questions that may seem a little weird to you. One is question number 13. That question's on there because of responses. We've had some from focus groups we've interviewed in the church. And then questions number 26 and 27, which relate to ethnicity. These questions are patterned after the U.S. Census, so we pattern out questions on ethnicity in the church the same way, and it's going to help us understand what ethnic groups in San Diego we're reaching. So we're very excited about that. We want to engage every segment of society. The final question I would like to address is, will you find out the information and the results of this survey? And yes, this survey is going to produce thousands of bits of information as all of its cross-reference, but we will be sharing with you the big picture items, and it's going to be very exciting to find out who we're reaching, how we're reaching people, and how we're going to adjust based on the information we get. Listen, I'm very excited about next week, Good Friday and Easter. It's going to be the bomb, and I pray that all of y'all are praying about who you're going to bring and the thousands of people that are going to hear the gospel. See you next week. God bless you.
Amen. Please notice there are two sides to your survey, and notice how in the upper right-hand corner how we want you to mark those boxes with that X. And so we thought long and hard the best way to do this, and we decided to give you 10 minutes and 51 seconds to accomplish this at this time, but we're going to provide music for you also. So get your pens out, and let's get started. Just to give you a point of reference, you now have 5 minutes and 4 seconds left, about halfway through the allotted time. Familiar with this chorus dating back to the early church. Okay. And for all of you that missed the NFL season, you now have your 2-minute warning. Okay? 2 minutes left. Only at the Rock Church. Is that right? That's John Williams for you on the piano. Let's give it up for John. Can you imagine what it would have been like without him? And if you now have your surveys, could you please pass them to the middle of the aisles so that we can pick them up? And if for some reason you still did not get finished, please take the time to fill them out, and then on your way out today, make sure you hand them in to one of the usher greeters. At this time, we have a treat for you. I promise you, it's well worth the wait. I want you to put your hands together, and I want you to help me welcome Kurt Cloninger as he comes and brings the Word of God to us in a way that I don't think you've ever experienced before. This is Kurt.
And the question on Final Jeopardy today is, one of the most exciting churches in Southern California, I'm sorry, you didn't phrase that in the form of a question. And once again, the winner is Ken. Well, my name's Kirk Cloninger. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm an actor. And I've got a couple of issues. Do you feel like you are a little stressed out because you've just done the SATs? Here's the good news, folks. You can't flunk this survey. If you, like, really screw it up really badly, they still let you come to this church. You're in. Don't worry. Well, one thing I wish that was on this survey, it'd be a little difficult to do, is how do you see God and how do you see yourself? Because you know what? The way you think God is really going to determine sort of your relationship with this church and how you live your life. Very common. All of us have pictures of God rattling around in our brain. Here's the weird thing. Quite often, the pictures of God that we have rattling around in our brain are a little bit off. They're not real accurate. And if we have a picture of God that's a little bit off, it can lead to a little bit of weirdness in our lives. Well, I'm going to give you a really quick Reader's Digest version of one of my full-length shows called God Views, which I've got on DVD in the back. But of how we see God. Here's how I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you two or three common misconceptions that we often have about God. I'll do it in caricature form. I'll actually impersonate God. Some of you who are the parents of teenagers thought only you could do that. But I'll give it my best shot. What do you think God is really, truly like? Maybe you think God's like this. My name's God. You don't have to tell me your name because I know it already. I got it written down in this big old black book right here. Oh, yeah, I've been watching y'all with my all-seeing eye right here. I've been watching y'all do like a hawk. Every move you make, every step you take, every bond you break, I've been watching you. So y'all better watch out. You better not cry. We're not pout, I'm telling you why I'm watching you. Oh, yeah, I'm making me a list, checking it twice. Yeah, we're going to find out who's naughty and who's nice. I'm watching. Let me tell y'all something, too. I wrote most of y'all off a long time ago. Yeah, most of y'all are going down the big chute. Rest of you, I had it about up to here with you. And I'm just waiting for y'all to make enough mistakes. I'm keeping track, too, right there in my black book, keeping track of every little mistake. When y'all get enough marks down there by your name in my black book. Let's just say it ain't a very pretty sight. Then again, maybe you think God's more like this. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Miss Lacey. You rang my God bell, and here I am to step and fetch it. Oh, indeed, I've got your list from the last time we spoke. Let's see, I believe that was Christmas. Yes, I believe I've gotten everything for you. Let's see, the new home, Point Loma, swimming pool, jacuzzi, 12-foot plasma television. Well, I believe that's everything. Now, so what is it this morning? I realize must be some sort of crisis for you to call on me like this. You've wrecked your automobile. Indeed, that does sound like a crisis. What kind did you have, sir? 93 Chevette. Not so sure that's a crisis, sir. Just joking, little godly humor. We can repair that for you right away. A new automobile. Indeed, what kind would you like? Foreign or domestic? Lexus. Good choice. Color preference? Red. Sporty. Make a note. Don't want to forget. Oh, no, sir. No need to thank me. That's what I'm here for. I aim to please. Your wish is my command. We're only here for your convenience. We both know that, don't we? And then again, sometimes we get the idea that God is real, 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 real. My name's my driver's license, G. Harvey. G.
Jehovah. You can call me God for short. You reckon I'd remember? I've been God for a long time now. Pretty good job being God. Mostly I sit around here a lot on my throne. Of course, I used to be real busy being God. I remember one time I created the entire universe. Kept me busy for about a week. And I remember that time I made that bullseye. That time I made that big flood there, see? I got that fella, got all them animals together on that boat, and I made that... What was that fella's name with that boat? Moses. I got that fella. He got all them animals on that boat, and I made that flood. And then there's that whale. That whale came along, swallowed that boat. That was something. There's that little wooden boy inside that whale. Can't remember his name. He had him a snarz, I'm telling you. Yeah, I was mighty good back then. I never knew. You don't want to hear me bragging on the old days. Besides, them days is over now. I'm retired now. I don't get involved down there. See, once I got everything down there started, I just got to sit back here now and let it all happen by itself. Dad. Besides, I can't keep track of everything. It's complicated. Mostly I sit here now, I do that. See, I got to keep my eye on everybody. I do that. You know, What? I must have dozed off. I was having a pipe dream. Well, it's real nice talking to all of you. Who are you, anyway? Don't tell me. I'll forget. Yeah, right. I'm God. What do you want? Would you get off your knees, chick? Stand up. Tell me what you want. Make it snappy. Hey! Would you guys hold it down over there, you crazy angel? Yeah, you can rehearse some other time. I'm doing a little business here. Right, hallelujah yourself, can it? All right, what do you want, chick? I'm God, all right? We got that. I'm God, you're a pest. Hey, Gabriel, it's about time you got here. Yeah, you're late. You're 200 years late, Gabriel. Listen, put the trumpet down. Play jazz on your own time. I'll get you. Would you quit interrupting me? I got stuff going on here. You want to go stand in the back of the line? Clam up. I'll get to you. You ever hear this before? I help Sims that helps himself. You ever hear that before? Yeah, that's in there somewhere. All right. Yeah, it's in there. It's down the pace where it says don't go and swimming for an hour after you eat. Gabriel! What? All right, go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spit it out. What do you want? Go. What? What? Whoa, time out of here. Let me get this straight. Your fiance just broke up with you? Oh, and you're feeling lonely. Let me tell you something, chick. I got angels I gotta supervise here. They turn into some sort of cosmic jazz band. You come to me with boyfriend problems? I got tornadoes, I got hurricanes, I got the San Diego Padres to take care of, honey. You come to me, are you out of your ever-loving gourd? Let me tell you something, chick. Boyfriend, schmoyfriend. I got a universe to run here. Beat it. Okay, so the question is, how do you see God? I don't know how you put that on the survey, but how do you see God? Because see, how you see God is really going to determine how you live your life. Well, how you see God is a huge topic. There are people much more qualified than me to talk about that. Miles, for one. But he's not here today. Don't leave. You got me. And instead of me trying to wrap this up profoundly this morning, I'm just going to punt. I've got a friend of mine who lives near me up in the mountains of North Georgia, and I'm going to let him tell you what God is really, truly like. Yeah, my name's Bubba Johnson of Bubba's Tire and Auto. And the other day, me and some of the boys, we sitting around there at lunch, you know, have some meatloaf sandwiches, and we got in one of them God discussions. One of the boys, he looks over to me, says, Bubba, what you think God likes best, dogs or cats? said, dogs. Of course, you know, none of the boys disagreed with that. But then another boy says to me, says, so, Bubba, what kind of dogs you think God likes best, purebreds or mutts? I said, mutts. He says, how come is that? I said, because that's just the way God is. That's just the nature of God. God's preference in dogs is the same as God's preference in people. That's just the nature of God. Well, when I told them boys that, they was kind of chewing on it, you know. They was sort of looking at me kind of funny, some of it, sort of like some of y'all are doing here now. And so I figured I might ought to explain that to them. So I explained that to them by reminding them about this old boy. We got this old boy come in the shop every once in a while for an oil change. Old boy's Raymond Boley. He's a chicken grower. He got him about 100,000 birds and all. And he drives a 1999 Chevy long bed pickup truck. I'm going to tell y'all, it's white, it's spotless. You could eat eggs off the hood. Looks brand new. But whenever you see Raymond, he got this old dog riding with him. Right up there in the cab of the truck. Now, the dog's name is Partner, and Partner is of questionable lineage. But whenever you see Raymond, there too is the mutt. It's drooling and it's shedding all over the upholstery of the pickup truck. I mean, he must have to vacuum it three times a day to keep it that clean. But whenever you see him, there he got the dog. Well, I've been curious about that for a while, you know, and he come in a while back to get an oil change. And so I said, Raymond, how come you let that mutt ride up there in the front of your truck? Won't you make a dog ride in the back of the truck, Raymond? That old dog's going to ruin your upholstery. Sure enough, about that time I look up there, the dog's drooling all over the steering wheel. He says to me, Bubba, you don't know about Partner, do you? I said, no, I do not. Won't you tell me? So he goes on to tell me this story about the dog, which I'm going to relate to y'all real quick now. He says to me, he says, yeah, Bubba. He says, a while back we was having bad trouble with the chickens. He said, I'd go out there some morning and be like 10 birds worth of feathers lying around outside them chicken houses. He said, I figured there must be some kind of critter sneaking in there in the middle of the night, you know, kind of having a buffet line with the weaker birds. I couldn't catch it. I'd flip on the lights, whatever critter it was, it'd just be gone before I even saw it. He said, I figure I'm going to get it eventually, but he says to me, he says, my wife Earlene decided we're going to get ourselves a watchdog. So he says, Earlene, she goes down there to the fancy pet shop and she picks out for a watchdog, a full-grown, purebred, white poodle for a watchdog. I said, a poodle? He says, yeah, a poodle. Earlene says, as long as we're going to have a watchdog, might as well be a cute one that don't shed. Well, they got that poodle, and that poodle parked her hiney on the couch and didn't move. It wouldn't have a thing to do with Raymond the boot. Meanwhile, they're still losing chickens out there. Well, one night, Raymond says to me, he says, Bubba, I could tell there was something going on. It was a pitch black night, there weren't no moon, and there was a general restlessness amongst the poultry. He said, I decided I weren't flipping on the lights. I loaded my double barrel 12-gauge shotgun full of bird shot, and I commenced a sneaking out there on my belly toward the chicken houses. He said, I knew there was restlessness. He says, then I heard it. There was one chicken squawking like a strangled squawk, like some critter had that chicken around the throat in his mouth. He said, I couldn't see it. I just followed the sound of the strangling chicken. And then he stops. He says, I lowered that double barrel 12-gauge in the general vicinity where it stopped and blam, blasted away. I heard this loud yelp, and whatever critter it was done run off in the dark before I even saw. I said, Raymond, where was the poodle all this time? Never left the couch. Sat there on the doilies staying clean and not shedding. Well, Raymond decided that he gonna have to get himself a real watchdog. So about 5 days later, when he got to town, he go down there to the pound, you know, pick him out a pound dog, watch him chicken houses. He says to me, he says, Bubba, I walk in there to pound, the first dog that I lays eyes on was this old mutt just lying down there on the cement, didn't lift up his head, his eyes or nothing, just lay there looking pitiful. He says, I studied it for a while, there's just something about it. And he kind of walks around and says to me, you know, look some of the other dogs in the pound. He says, I just kept coming back to that one. And by, Raymond, he's standing there studying the mutt. And Shorty, a little guy to run the pound, he's standing right there next to Raymond. And Raymond, he says to Shorty, he says, well, I think I want that dog right there. And Shorty says, hee-wee. No, mister, you don't want that dog. I'm going to tell you, you don't want. Yeah, I do. That's the dog I'm picking right there. I want that. Shee-wee. Mister, you don't want that dog. Now, I'm telling you, we're holding that dog for 4 more days because that's the county law. But then we're going to gas that worthless piece of dog flesh. I am telling you, buddy, I want that. No, you don't want that dog, mister. That old mutt's all full of birdshot. Raymond said it's kind of like the light bulb went on in his head. He looks down at that dog. About that time, the dog shifts his eyes, looks up to Raymond. Raymond says to me, he says, Bubba, something passed between us. He squats down there, strokes the dog's side, all full of birdshot, pulls the dog's mouth open, bunch of chicken feathers stuck in the dog's teeth. And Raymond, he says to the pound fella, he says, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. It's here going to be my fine dog, yes, sir. That there's a dog I'm picking, yes, sir. That there's going to be my fine dog. Raymond Boley paid big bucks to get that dog out that pound. Then he paid more money to take it to the vet, get it patched up. And then he let that dog come home with him into his kitchen on the linoleum, and he fed that mutt little dry dog food with a little chicken broth over the top. He fed that mutt, he forgave that mutt, and he named that old mutt Partner. And Partner has been a law friend and watchdog ever since. So, Bubba's Bible made easy on what God's like and what in the world that has to do with y'all. Number one, God loves mutts and loves to forgive them. So number two, it's better to admit you're a mutt than to play like you're a poodle. Because number three, only forgiving mutts get to ride shotgun in the cab of God's pickup. So maybe a question on the survey might be, what are you, a mutt or a poodle? Because how you answer that probably will determine how you live your life. You know, until I was about 19 years old, I was firmly convinced that I was a poodle. You know, I don't drink, I don't chew, I don't go with girls that do, you know. I followed all the right rules, I was in the right church, and I just kept my nose clean and way high in the air, because I figured that's what it's all about. You follow all the rules, then maybe if you're lucky, God won't get ticked and pull out his cosmic six shooter and blast you to hell. And quite frankly, I was a pretty good poodle. And then I got off to college and I had a terrible realization. It was wonderful and terrible and horrifying and freeing. I realized that I was not a poodle. I was a mutt. I was a chicken-stealing mutt who was stealing God's chicken. The Bible word for all that's sinner, but chicken-stealing mutt works all right. Which was terrible news, but thank God at the same time I heard the great news, and that is this. God is nuts about chicken-stealing mutts. It sounds like a Tammy Wynette song, but I know you've seen it here. Guy driving a pickup truck, probably out in El Cajon. Guy driving a pickup truck, dog's on the passenger side, the dog's head's out the window, the dog's ears are flapping, jowls are flopping, you see it. Steady stream of dog spit going down the side of the truck. And these dogs have their head out of the window, and it's just like they're going, it does not get any better than this. Woo! I mean, they are over the edge of excitement. I used to see those dogs. I think, you stupid dog. What could be possibly be going through your stupid little dog head? Why are you doing that? I never could. I figured it had something to do with airflow or smell or something. It doesn't. It doesn't. I figured it out after I wrote this Bubba thing one day. I got it. You know why dogs stick their head out of the window, don't you? Because it's their way of saying to everyone they pass on the street, I'm with him! And he drives the truck! And he picked me, and I'm in the front! Ain't it great? I got this dog for $40 from the DeKalb County Pound in suburban Atlanta. The dog worships me, as well she should. I saved her neck. $40, cheap price to get something to worship you. I highly recommend it. Of course, the Bible says the adoption cost for mutts like me and mutts like you was not $40.
Says in Peter, it was not gold or silver. It was the precious blood of the perfect Son. And we celebrate that adoption price next weekend. And we jump up and down and go, all right, my papers are signed with the blood of Jesus. And you know what that means, don't you? It means God's not going to say to you, get in the back of the truck. Maybe if you do enough religious stuff and you get your act together, then I'll let you ride in the front. But if you screw up one more time, you will always be in the back. He says, you're adopted, baby. You're riding in the front. You know what your job is, Rock Church? It's real simple. Your job is stick your head out of the side of God's pickup and drool. All the people around you in suburban San Diego, they look at you in this church and they go, who are those idiots? And you say, we're with him. He drives the universe and he picked us. Ain't it great? Go drool.
Kurt Cloninger. Let's give it up for Kurt. Thank you so much. Kurt has a table in the back with some of his products back there. We encourage you on your way out to stop by that table. But we do have some gifts for you today. So as you leave today, one of the things that you're going to get, make sure you get it, is you're going to get one of these. I'm told to stay real steady here. Can you see it? It is an army man, and we're giving you an army man because you are a member of the Rock Army. Is that right? Let's see how much you remember. The A stands for accountability. Make sure you're in a small group. Make sure you have somebody to be accountable to. The R stands for reaching the lost. You have a great opportunity this week to do just that. The M, ministry and service. By the way, over 2,600 of you responded to the ministry fair. That's not even counting those that were already in ministry. Today we had Pebbles Pathway stand up. And our concern now is that we have a lot of you in the nets, but we don't want you to stay in the nets. We got to get you out of the net and into the boat. And so make sure that you follow through and you've signed up. You've hopefully heard from your ministry leaders. Get involved. It's all about ministry. Amen? And then the last one, the Y stands for? Very good. Okay, so make sure you get your little army man as you go. You might want to put it on your desk and your car just as a reminder that you are a member of the Rock Army. Also on your way out, we want you to pick up at least 10 or 15 of these promotional cards. Let me remind you of something very important to keep stress at a minimum for you. Next Sunday, if you come here, we're not going to be here, all right? So some of you are going to say, oh my God, it was the rapture. What happened? Okay? We are not going to be meeting here at Ruffin Road. We are at Cox Arena. We have over 12,000 seats, and we need to be great stewards of those seats. We want you to reach the lost. We want you to take a handful of these and invite people to come to church with you next Sunday. Now, as you know, this is the greatest week of the year. Today is actually Palm Sunday, and it was about 2,000 years ago that Jesus rode on the back of a donkey down the Mount of Olives, through the Kidron Valley, through the gates into Jerusalem, and people had palm branches, and they were shouting, Hosanna. This is the beginning of Holy Week, and this week, we not only have Easter at the end of it, but we have a Good Friday service. And our Good Friday will be at the Open Amphitheater in San Diego State. And the Katinas will be there. And once again, let's be great stewards. We need to fill that place up. And if you've never heard the Katinas before, I promise you, you're in for a treat. So again, Let's go out, let's evangelize San Diego, because that's what our mission here as the Rock Church is. Amen? Let's now stand, and then we're going to sing one last song. But if you didn't fill out, if you didn't turn this in yet, the survey, make sure you get it filled out, and on your way out, that you hand it to one of the usher and greeters. So let's sing a song and be dismissed.